But it's good to be with you. And Kathy and I have visited here before, and we I like it here. You have a nice atmosphere. Worship, I mean, the singing, I love it. You bring us into the presence of God, and I appreciate that so much. And it's just a joy to be able to sing. You know, yesterday I was in Pittsburgh, and I was doing a training with pastors and their leadership out there. And the one thing we talked about was worship. That singing intentionally invites us into worship, but worship is everything we do. Right? When we think of worship, we think of singing naturally, but it's so much more in what we do, and so it's just I love to worship. I love to sing, and you know, I enjoy. I used to, back when I was a youth pastor back in that was a long time ago, and we had a band. That we used to go out and sing and do different stuff at, and I used to love to sing, and they would let me sing from time to time in the band, but I had such a good backup band that I could do anything and it sounded good, but y'all have such gifted musicians, and I appreciate that so very much, and I appreciate your using those gifts for the Lord. Yes. Amen. You could be using them anywhere, but you're using them for God. And thank you, Rich, and it's good to be back. Kathy and I love your pastor and Judy, and we have gotten to know them a lot better over the last year and spent some time with them, and appreciate their openness, their love, and their attitudes, and their passions. And they're just fun to be with, too. I mean, Kathy and I appreciate them so very much. I've been in the ministry for many years. I was a youth pastor. I was a Christian school principal for 12 years, and also I started a church in South Hills of Pittsburgh, pastored there for 18 years, then was elected to this position. And I just want to let you know, first of all, you're part of a big family. There are 13,000 Assembly of God churches in the United States, and in Pennsylvania there's 400, and there's about 120,000 congregants that gather in Pennsylvania and Delaware, and you're part of a big fellowship. And it's a joy for me to have the opportunity to be here with you today. I did see something over here. I saw this hourglass. Does that tell me when I'm done? Does that just... Yeah, oh, it does. Okay, yes, that's what it means.
Only if you turn it over.
Okay. I got instruction that this is Jesus' chair. That's pretty cool. And Pastor Rich told me if I sit in that chair, there'll be a riot. So I will not sit on Jesus. I love to sit on Jesus' lap, but I'm not going to sit in the chair this morning. But Father, we thank you and praise you so much for the privilege and the honor we have to gather in your presence today. God, you're greater, you're bigger, you're stronger than any other. And we thank you and praise you for that. And Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be pleasing to you. You are my rock and my redeemer. Give us ears to hear what you would speak to us today through the word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk to you a bit this morning about the church and who we are in the church and who we could be in the church. You know, as we were singing that song, God is greater, God is bigger, God is stronger than any other. If we lived like that, what a difference it would make. As we were singing that song, I'm thinking that. I'm thinking, man, you know, it's easy to be like that in here. Am I right? It's easy to be like that in the church, but it's when we go outside the church walls, and when we get into our car and we go out and we go down the road and somebody cuts us off, or when we go into Walmart and somebody, you know, do you ever get in the line? You know, they don't have it in Walmart anymore. Walmart's just an interesting place to go. You never know what you're going to see in Walmart, you know, and. But what drives me crazy, these lines that they say 10 items only, and the person has 45 items in there. That just, you know.
The new math.
that's fantastic. But those are the times when God has to remind me that you're saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. Keep your mouth shut and just wait. But I want to say we've been living in challenging times. Do you know that? I'm sure you do. If there's ever been a day when we need to walk in the Spirit moving into the future, it's today. I believe too long, culture has been shaping the church. You know, it used to be that the church shaped culture, but today, culture shapes the church. We are told and we are guided by culture what we are to do. And I believe it's time for us to take it back. I believe it's time for the church to take back what's been going on. We've been under attack. Well, Pastor Hutz, there's a prime example of what you shared there, of the church being under attack for something that should never be under attack for. And you hear it all the time. And Kathy and I were just talking the other day. She shared with me this church. Where's that church, those churches that you were telling me about? They had people come in and teach the Sunday school class. Was that California? Florida. Florida. In Florida, there was these conglomeration churches. You want to come up and talk? No, okay. They've invited, help me here, drag queens to come into the church to teach in Sunday school. We're inviting things in the church that should never be. In fact, Kathy said to me, they should not even call themselves church. And we're doing things, and it's just, did you ever think you would see what's going on in the world today going on? Today. And I firmly believe that the reason we're seeing a lot of this is because the church has taken a back seat. We've taken a back seat, and we say, hey, people say, stay out of politics, stay out of social issues, stay out of, and we have, and the reason we're in the condition we're in today is because we have. You know, when I graduated from college, I worked in Washington, D.C. for a while. I was a congressional aide, but I also studied Christianity and politics while I was there, and people said they don't mix. I said, they have to. And the problem today is, if we don't get involved, if we don't let our voice be known, someone else's voice will. And that's exactly what's been happening. And the church is getting less and less of significance. In fact, today, 1.7%, if a person attends church 1.7 times a month, they consider themselves a regular attender. 1.7 times a month. And that includes the different services that go on. You know, and I remember when I pastored, I met someone that said they went to my church, and I didn't even know who they were. You know, today it's easy to do that because of video. You know, and, you know, we don't know a lot of people in our church. But the thing is, there's so much going on in the church today, and even within the church, if we really had the impact of the power of God that we were intended to have, we would change the world. But the problem is, the world is changing us. Matthew 16, 18 says, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church, but we have been letting it happen in the church. I'm passionate about the church. Part of my professional job is to help pastors and to support pastors in our district. And Pennsylvania and Delaware, and even Kathy and I are leaving to go to the General Presbytery in a couple weeks. Is that next week? Next week. And we're meeting with leaders from around the United States and how we as the church can become more of what God has called us to be. It's time for the citizens of the kingdom of God to tap into the Holy Spirit. Amen. To make things happen. There's never been a time when I believe churches need to rise up. We're seeing it everywhere, but, you know, I truly believe society's losing its grip on the church because I believe the Ecclesiastes is positioning itself, Ecclesiastes, the church, the called out ones, is positioning itself for revival to take place in our land. I really believe, six of you believe that. I'm glad. Okay, good. You got work to do, Pastor, okay? But remember, Jesus is still the answer. Yes, that's right. I remember back in the day, I loved Andre Crouch and the Disciples, who a gospel singer back in the day, and he sang a song, Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him, there's no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus is still the answer. You can look a lot of different places, but Jesus is still the answer. And I believe that without a shadow of a doubt. In the Old Testament, there's a book in called Habakkuk. And if you look in Habakkuk 1, chapter 2 through 4, it says this, how long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Or cry out to you violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. Therefore, the law is paralyzed and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous, so justice is perverted. I'm thinking that could be written today. That is a description of what's going on today and the frustrations that many of us feel today. You know, but I love God's response in Habakkuk 1:5. Look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed, for I'm going to do something in your days that you would not believe, and even if you were told. Amen. And I believe that. I believe that's a prophetic word for today. That God is going to do some things today that we're going to be blown away from. We're just going to be blown away. And the thing is that God needs his ecclesiastia to be the called out ones. He needs the church to be the church. Not just here in this building, but in the streets. You know, it's getting to the point where that's what it needs. You know, the pandemic, the economic crisis, inflation, political unrest has not caught God off guard. He's not surprised by this. He's not surprised at all. I believe, quite frankly, and this is Jeff Marshall, I believe God has let this happen to see what we're made of. What are you made of? Do you trust me or do you trust the government? Do you trust me or do you trust the narrative that's out there? You know, what do you trust? I believe he's waiting for the church to rise up. I believe evil will cease, righteousness will prevail, Jesus wins, he'll overcome the world. The Bible says we're more than overcomers. More, say more. Yeah. More. We're more than overcomers. Yeah. You know, and that means something there. Yeah. More means more. Yeah. It means the next step above. Right. I was meeting with these pastors yesterday. I was talking about in Pittsburgh. And what we're trying to do, it's called the Acts 2 Journey, and I'm working with them, trying to encourage them. You know, that 78% of the churches in America today have either plateaued or declined or are declining. 78%. That's scary. And that is a picture of where we're going. And I'm talking to these pastors and they're sharing with me these things. I said, yeah, but God wants more. Take it to the next level. You see, if you're doing what you can do, then that doesn't require faith. You know, God wants us to go beyond what we can do. If we are Christians, we carry the power of God in our life. And if we carry the power of God in our life, then we can do exceedingly abundantly beyond what we can ever ask or think. And moving in that direction. You know, I believe that God is breathing new life into the dead, dry bones of the church. You know, we used to pray the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Could we handle God's will being done on earth as it is in heaven? No, I don't think we can. I really don't think we can. God wants to, but the point is that we get to a place where, you know, the churches today is man-made. And if Jesus walked in, you know, you're talking about your grandmother. Okay, there was a lady in our church. Grams lived to be 104, I think, right? Grams Robinson was her name. I loved her. She loved Jesus so much. And I used to go visit her, and she said to me one time, she goes, Jesus is with me all the time. Yeah. I said, oh, okay. She goes, yeah, sometimes I walk in the kitchen, boom, I bump right into him. You know, that's just. But that's a cool relationship. You know, it's a cool relationship. You know, do we want to see the kingdom of heaven come to earth? I do. You know, as we press toward the goal of the upward call of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're causing the kingdoms of this world to become the kingdoms of God. You know, we want to get to that place where the kingdoms of this world reflect the kingdom of God. You know, I believe in heaven, God has a kingdom that he designed. Someday, that kingdom is going to come to earth. Someday, when God restores, and it's going to come to earth. But you see, the Bible says that we see dimly now, but someday we'll see clearly. And I believe that kingdom is being prepared to come to earth. You know, so many people are freaking out over so many things today. You know, it's amazing. I believe the number one problem in America today is not inflation, it's not prices, it's fear. Fear has gripped America. Fear has gripped us. People who love God dearly are severely afraid, you know, because we've been fed a narrative. And, you know, every news channel has an agenda. Everybody does. Whether it's CNN, ABC, NBC, Fox, Newsmax, whatever. You look at all of them, they all have an agenda. They want to feed you some information. The only way we're going to get the true information is right here. But here's a scary thing. Less than 20% of people in church today believe the Bible is the actual Word of God. Didn't that just come out? Less than 20% of people in church believe this is the Word of God. What about those who don't believe? You know, it's almost like we're fighting a losing battle. But God says, that's because you're not using the resources I have available for you. There are resources that I have available to you. You know, I want you to understand something. If you've asked Jesus to come into your heart, you carry the very presence of God with you. You carry his presence. We're part of a kingdom, a spiritual kingdom. We cannot close our eyes and just hang on. Have you ever heard anybody say, I'm just hanging on till Jesus comes? He never told us to hang on. He said to press on. To press on. You know, he never told us. Full steam ahead with everything we have. As we navigate through these times, we can't give in to operating in survival mode. And that's what we've been doing in the church. I'm just going to tread water until Jesus comes and snatches me out. You know, so many people live for the rapture. I'm living for tomorrow. I'm living for today. Let me ask you a question. And you don't need to answer this question to me. When was the last time you invited somebody to church? When was the last time you told somebody about Jesus? The Bible says, Matthew 28, it's go into all the world and preach the gospel. And that's called the Great, help me here, it's called the Great Commission. Called the Great Commission. What's a commission? Anybody been in the military? In here? What's a commission? What's it mean? It's orders. Commission. It's something that we are to do. It's a mission that we've been given to do. Yet how many of us actually go and do tell anybody about Jesus? You know, it's, and we have so many wow, where'd that come from? I've been speaking a lot the last couple of days, and Friday night and Saturday and today. you know, there's so many opportunities we have to tell people about Jesus in different ways to do it. You know, we had a neighbor that came over to us and wanted to talk about the COVID situation. And they didn't want to get, you know, they wanted us to give them an exemption letter. And I says, well, first of all, I can't do that for you. You have to do that on your own. So she wrote this incredible letter and talking about her faith and her trust in God and da-da-da-da. And she came over and shared a letter with us. And Kathy says, well, that's a good letter, but don't you think you should be going to church somewhere? And that simple thing. And matter of fact, we said, well, we'll go somewhere with you. And so we were supposed to go with them, and we couldn't go. I got called to go do something else. They went to church and without us. And then we went, we saw them several months later. And here they were still going to church, and the son was going to church, and she invited her cousin to come to church, and they had a whole pew just because of sharing something simple. Folks, witnessing is not brain surgery here. It's telling people what Jesus means to you. You know, and the thing is, that's what makes the difference. As we navigate through these times, we can't just be there. We're part. The thing we don't realize, we're partnering with an army of angels on a battlefield.
That's right. Yes.
And you know, we live in this world, but we're not of this world. And the thing is that we have, you know, that's, you know, to some people I'll say, you're freaky. But the thing is that when we ask Jesus to come into our heart, we become a part of a spiritual family. We're talking about, somebody said earlier about being grafted into the family of God. That we're adopted into God's family when we ask Jesus to forgive us and we come and live in our hearts. We're adopted into his family. When we're adopted into his family, we have the rights and privileges of his sons and daughters. And we have the arsenal of heaven available to us for the taking. And we have a vast army of angels.
Yes.
You know, I don't know where, you know, we're called to be frontline strategic workers for God.
Amen.
So the kingdom of God can be expanded. It's no secret that the world is in a mess. It's upside down. Black is white, white is black, right is wrong, wrong is right, evil's good, good is evil. And we have these, I saw the kids in here earlier. We have these kids that are coming up before us. What are we doing? What are we doing with those kids? We were just sharing with Judy earlier that last week, two kids, one was 6 years old and one was 9 years old, okay? Two different occasions. One was involved in a VBS and one was involved in a church camp. Started acting up, starting threatening to hurt people, threatening to do things. When the counselors got together and started praying with these kids, as soon as they said the name Jesus, these kids freaked out. That's a sign of demonic attack in their life. Two different occasions. One kid threatened to kill his parents in front of the police. And the thing is that they said is their voices even changed. These kids are 6 and 9. These are churched kids. You know, what are we doing? It's just, you know, Joshua, God said, just be strong and courageous and go in and take the land. Then he said, be very strong and courageous. And he said again, be very strong, because, you know, being strong and courageous is one thing, being very strong and courageous. Why did he say it? Because there's some mess going on in the land. When Joshua was going in to take the promised land, first of all, this is promised land. God said time and time again, you go into the land, everywhere your foot goes is mine, it's yours. But there was the enemy living in the land. And so Joshua's job was to go in and get rid of the enemy. Folks, our job is to go in and get rid of the enemy in the land. Courageous and anointed followers will hear what others don't hear, see what others don't see, say what others won't say, and go where others are afraid to go. Hear what others won't hear by the Spirit of God. God gives us ears to hear. See what others won't see, because the Spirit of God lives within us. He'll give us spiritual eyes to see. Say what others don't say, and go where others won't go. But are we doing it? We have the power to do it. An anointed follower of Christ will not give in to what people want, but will give them what they need. I want to take a look in the Old Testament. That was my introduction, by the way. I asked Pastor, I said, how long do you want to preach? He says, as long as you want. He says, but we're leaving at 12:30. So it's, he didn't really say that. He said 12:15. Anyway, it was a difficult time in the nation of Israel. The king of Israel, Saul, had died, and they had to crown a new king. The leaders of the tribe of Benjamin wanted one of their own, the son of Saul, to be the successor to the throne. But the other tribes wanted David. So they met in Hebron. And what they did, they had a general council. They had a business meeting. That's exactly what they did. People think business meetings are new to today. No, they're not. They've been going on for centuries. And they met in Hebron during this time there. But what happened is you had conflict going on in the land. It caused a time of crisis in the nation of Israel because they had a great need for leadership. And people of great wisdom, they needed leadership. I'm not going there. Stay focused. Forgive me. 1 Chronicles 12:23 says this. These are the numbers of the men armed for battle who came to David at Hebron to turn Saul's kingdom over to him, as the Lord said. And then as you look in there, there's a list. It gives a list of the mighty men. And they were strong and mighty men. And they were there for a purpose. And they were chosen for a purpose. But I want you to zero in on verse 32. Chapter 12. 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. Men of Issachar who understood the times and knew what Israel should do. 200 chiefs with all their relatives under their command. In Hebrew language, the word used there for understand is bana. It comes from a root word which means separate something mentally to make it different. It was used to describe a situation when one has insight into a matter or circumstance and acts with prudence. It also reveals the presence of intelligence and wisdom, knowledge of spiritual skill. This is a situation when someone understands what's going on and knows what to do about it. I think today we need people who understand what's going on and know what to do about it. It means that men of Issachar have the ability and capacity to use their spiritual gifts given to them by God. The Bible tells us each one of you has received a special gift from God. Use it as in employing one another in the manifold grace of God. Say, I have received a gift from God. Say it. Each one of you has received a gift from God. They're different. All of us have different kind of gifts. That's what makes it so cool that we can all fit in the body. And by the way, we're live streaming, right? There's some of you that have gifts that you're at home that this body could use, but this body is not what it could be because you're staying at home. Now, some people stay at home because of physical reasons, and I understand that. But today, people have used the excuse of the internet and Facebook Live to stay home and violate Hebrews 12, where it says, do not forsake the fellowshipping together of saints. I can say this because I'm leaving right after the service. It's true. These men of Issachar were not ashamed of what God had given them. God gave them gifts for the nation of Israel to be a blessing to the nation. And they're willing to do it. The men of Ishgar, it says, could discern the times. They could analyze what's going on and using the prophetic word of God to meet the need of that time. They knew the climate and perceived correctly the consequences of all that was going on. They knew what to do, in other words. They understood the big picture. Folks, we need to see the big picture. I think the church is calling, the church is looking today for men and women of Ishgar who know the times and know what to do. But how do we know what to do? Because the Spirit of God lives within us, and greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. And that's something we need to understand, and we need to continue to move in. According to God's sovereign wisdom, Ecclesiastes 3:1 tells us he has a time and a season for his purposes to fulfill his promises. We see this in the realm of nature, in his kingdom, where appointed times, seasons change. The church, we need to understand the times as well. We need to understand the chronological and spiritual times that we live in. We can't do church like we did it 3 years ago. We can't do it. We can't do church like we did it 5 years ago or 10 or 20 or 50. I hear so many people say, take me back to those days. You know, I was saved in the 70s. The Jesus music, the Jesus movement is when I was saved, you know, kumbaya and, you know, all that stuff. And you know, and I still, Kathy always tells me, you are stuck in the 70s, she says. I like 70s music. And I'm gonna go here for a minute. Larry Norman is my all-time favorite Christian artist. Anybody know who Larry Norman is? Okay, four of you. That's how old I am. Okay, good. But it's like Kathy says, I'm stuck there all the time. But the thing is, you know, God says, press on toward the goal, the upward call, the mark of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, forget about the past and press on toward the future. And in Philippians 3, when he says forget about the past, that means don't let the negative things of the past influence you for the future. You know, I read the end of Revelation, and it says that there's a new kingdom and a new earth. And it says there's a river of God flowing through it. And it says that, you know, the streets are going to be of gold. It says we're going to be living with Jesus. It says that the things we're going to have, you know, the bottom line is, what's the worst thing that can happen to us? We die and go be with Jesus if we truly believe. But we need to get rid of hell in the meantime. You know, in the church today, we need to rise up. We need to be people who take a stand for God. We have a generation following us that needs to hear the truth because they're not being taught. They're not being taught the truth in the public schools. They're not being taught the truth in the media. They're not being taught the truth in society today. So it's up to us to teach them the truth. And you say, how many of you kids or grandkids? I saw a whole bunch of kids running around here that need adopted parents. They may have parents, but they need adopted parents as well. We need to teach our kids about the kingdom of God. We need to know what to do during these times. We need to see with the eyes of the Spirit. We cannot interpret the times through the narrative that's being fed to us on a daily basis. We have to see things through the filter of the Word of God. If we don't see things through the filter of the Word of God, then it's going to get clogged up, and it's going to mess up our mind. That's why the Bible says you need to renew your mind. How do you renew it? Through the power of the Word. Renewing our mind. You know, I truly believe that God still speaks today. I don't think he's silent today or any day. There's always been an open heaven. We may not always hear him, but he's always speaking. And we can't hear him because we're so consumed with everything else. The scriptures tell us here, the scripture says the times, refers to the times. And what that means is appointed intervals of times by the year. We're talking about Chronos times. You know, this clock that's staring me in the face, it says 12, it says 11:05, I think it says on the, it doesn't, it says 12:05. But it stares me in the face. That's chronological time. Chronos time is the specific appointed time, is what it is. It's a specific, when the Galatians 4:4 says, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born unto the law. There was an appointed time. And God looked down and said, now's the time. Is what he did. It's not just the time or a season, but it's an appointed time. I believe we are in an appointed time today. A time in our lives when we need to step up as never before. The opposition is great. Darkness is real. The enemy's in our face. But we need to say, back off, Satan. God has called me for a purpose and a time. Get your hands off my kids. Get your hand off this country. I believe we are in an appointed time right now. 1 John 4:4 says, and I quoted earlier, you are from God. And I love this. Look at this. I'm going to come down here. Let's read it together. Can we do that? You are from God. Everybody, again, you are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. God says, hey, you, you're my children. I want to remind you of something. This world doesn't have it over you. Don't let it. Don't let it. You know, we carry an impartation and we possess the qualities of God like never before for such a time as this. Esther was placed in Persia at a specific appointed time for God to use her. But what did she have to do? Choose to be used. Hey, that's good. That's good. Don't use that. I'm going to use it. Choose to be used. There are those on the right side of history, stationed for the right time and the right place. Ordinary men and women. The disciples, unrecognized by the world, changed the world because of God's presence. We too, like the sons of Issachar, need to understand what to do. Because I believe we have the ability to understand what to do. We do. We truly do. The sons of Issachar were not afraid of the world. They're unflattered by the world because they had servants' hearts. Scripture reveals again and again, God's people are often blind to what he is doing. If you look at the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious leaders during the time of Jesus, they had their writings that explained to them that Jesus was coming back again. They had everything they needed in front of them to prove to them that Jesus was coming back, but they didn't recognize him because they were looking for Jesus to fit into their mold. You know, often we want Jesus to fit into our mold. And Jesus says, you know, I'd like you fit into me. You know, John the Baptist said, I need to decrease. He needs to increase. We're told in the scriptures we need to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? That means we act like him. You know, that we strive to act like him. We're going to mess up. I mess up daily, weekly, hourly. You know, we all mess up. But what is the motive of our heart? You know, we were talking about David earlier, and David was a man after God's own heart. David messed up a number of times, but the thing about David is he wanted to do what was right. He wanted to do what was right. He wanted to follow after God. It's interesting that it's these tribes. If you look through the scriptures here, you see all these lists of tribes here in Hebron, but there's only one that said they saw and understand what God was doing. Through the whole list, there's only one that said they understood and knew. The other ones talk about they're mighty warriors, they're great, they're strong. But this one says they understood what was going on and they knew what to do. That's discernment. I believe today we need discernment more than ever before. I believe it's a gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, verse 54 through 56, he said to the crowd, "When you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say it's going to rain, and it does. And when the south wind blows, you say it's going to be hot, and it is. Hypocrites. You know how to interpret the appearance on the earth and the sky. How is it you don't know how to interpret this present time?" Folks, I believe we're there. We must be able to discern the times that we're in. You know, it's lining up with the Word of God. You look through Daniel, you look through Matthew, you look through Revelation, you look through these passages. Things are lining up. There's that song, "Jesus is coming, you better get ready. He's coming soon." Kathy and I were listening to a message. She went to hear a speaker this past week named Kim Owens. She pastors Arizona. Okay. She pastors out in Arizona. Her church has been in revival for 7 years. And the thing is, God is moving in a supernatural way. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we learn of the spiritual gifts available to those who are filled with the Holy Spirit. One of those gifts is the gift of discernment. In verse 10, Paul tells the church. He says in 1 Corinthians 12:1, "Now about spiritual gifts, I don't want you to be ignorant." He wanted us to understand. Paul, and through the Word of God, said, "I want you to understand spiritual gifts. I want you to understand what they are." And one of them is discernment. What is discernment? Discernment is something that God gives you, a supernatural understanding of what's happening. Folk, I believe we need a supernatural understanding of what's happening. I truly believe what's going on in the world today. You know, we have some clear signs that a blind man could see, but we're blind. We need to move forward to minister in society to the next generation. We must understand the times and know what to do. God has given us everything we need through the power of the Holy Spirit to accomplish what he's called us to accomplish. You know, I believe with everything in my heart that the time is coming for Jesus to return. Everything. I believe that I'm going to see this before I go home physically. I believe I'm going to be raptured before I die physically. I could be wrong. But I'm going to live like it's going to happen. And that's what he wants us to do. But the thing is that you know, are we taking anybody with us? Churches in this community, there's tons of churches in this community. Kathy and I were in Springfield, Missouri a few weeks ago. Springfield, Missouri is where the national headquarters of the Assembly of God is located. We call it Mecca. But anyway, and we were there. And within Springfield, there's 40 Assembly of God churches. And but yet we saw more poverty than we've ever seen anywhere. And we've seen some things. And there are churches everywhere. If we were doing our job, this church and every other church would be full. Overflowing. Bringing people to Jesus. The sons of Issachar carried a mantle with them. Let me tell you what a mantle is. A mantle is something that's given to you spiritually by God to accomplish something. Pastors receive a mantle to pastor, to be shepherds. It's passed upon them. But I truly believe a mantle is something that you cannot accomplish. When you're given a mantle, a calling, That mantle or that calling is not something you can accomplish on your own. The only way you can accomplish it is through the power of God working. And let me tell you, I believe God wants people in his church to take on the mantle of the sons of Issachar, to carry a mantle of understanding the times and knowing what to do. You say, I want to be that. I want to be that man or woman that has a discernment in my heart, that I know where to go. I know what to do. That I want to bring people to Jesus. If we're not bringing people to Jesus, we're not doing anything. If we're not serving him, we're not truly saved. Jesus said, if you'll love me, you'll serve. He said to Peter, do you love me? Serve my lambs. Take care of my sheep. That's serving. And it's easy to do it in the church. It's easy to do it in here. I see y'all seem to like each other in here. I see it with my own eyes. You know, but the point is, when you go outside the door, you're going to love the unlovely. Come on, man. God, give me discernment to know what to do. Give me the wisdom through the Holy Spirit and the ability to do it. It's time to quit talking about it. It's time to do it. Amen? Stand with me. Close your eyes. In a few minutes, I'm going to ask you to come to the front. I'm going to pray that the spirit of Issachar falls on this house. I'm going to pray for a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit for discernment and wisdom to bring people to Jesus. Disciples believe and they go. If we are truly his disciples, we're going to go. We're going to go. Father, we come to you now in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your spirit that's in this house. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your word of God that shares with us stories about these men of Issachar, this tribe of Issachar, these chiefs, as it says, 200 chiefs that knew what to do faced with difficult situations. They knew what to do in Israel. Father, I pray that you'll fill us in this house, that we'll carry a mantle to know what to do in Harrisburg and the surrounding areas to bring people to you. Father, I pray your Holy Spirit will move. Move amongst us now, Lord God. And I'm going to pray right now, and I'm going to ask you, do you want to carry that mantle? Do you want that mantle of discernment, of wisdom, of action? I'm going to encourage you to come and stand with me up front here because I want it. God wants to pour out his spirit in this house. He wants you to carry a mantle with you that's going to change people's lives. He wants to give you discernment through the power of the Holy Ghost. Now you'll say, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus into my heart. I'm not filled with the Holy Spirit. Today's the day. Today's the day. Do you want to make a difference? We need a hope. There's many people running around without hope today. We mentioned it earlier. Many people run around in fear. We have the answer. The Bible says there's no fear in love. Perfect love casts out all fear. Father, I pray today. Come on, I want to encourage you. Just put out your hands like you're going to receive something. Father, we come to you now and our hands are extended to you. Father, pour out your spirit in this house. In a minute, I'm going to pray a prayer and I'm going to ask you to pray after me. It's a prayer, first of all, to ask Jesus to forgive you, to come and live in you, to strengthen you. Then it's a prayer for God to pour out his spirit in your life, to give you discernment, to know what to do and how to do it. Father, we thank you and praise you. Pray this prayer with me. Dear Father in heaven, let's pray like we mean it, okay? Dear Father in heaven, I thank you for Jesus. Thank you that Jesus came for me. He lived for me. He died for me. He rose for me. And he lives in me. Forgive me for my lack of faith and not believing. Today, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Come and live in me. Pour your Spirit in me. I ask you today for the gift of discernment. I ask you today for the power to go to make a difference in my world. Father, that's our prayer today. That's our desire. And this is not just a, we know that our prayers have not fallen on a God who doesn't hear us. We've asked for it, and we know you'll give it. Now it's time for us to accept it and live like it. And I want to encourage you this week, put God to test. It says it in the scriptures. God says it a number of times in tithing and other issues. He said, test me and see. God won't let you down. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let me tell you, look at me for a minute. The same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead lives in you. Catch a hold of that. Catch a hold of the fact that the power of God lives in you. That'll make a difference. Amen? It'll make a difference. So when you go, make a difference. Let God live in you. What do you got to lose? But what do you got to gain? Take some people to heaven with you. Can we do that?